Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking this morning. Obviously, get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, let's discuss the hot topics of the day. And I don't think there's any hotter topic right now than the portal, guys. Decision possibly happening today. What's the latest there, Jerry?
Well, first, I got to tell people where I'm checking in from. Friendswood, Texas, Chick-fil-A, Fleetwood Mac, greatest hits on the way to Chick-fil-A. So it's a good morning, right? But yeah, Dominic Williams will decide tomorrow. There was some talk that was going to be today. When I'd kind of been saying that it could get bumped back, it's going to be Thursday because he doesn't return from LSU until a little bit later this morning. And then I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to meet with him at some point today after he returns to Fort Worth, and then a decision Thursday. So we'll see what happens. I think, it's been a little bit all over the place the last 24, 48 hours, as you would expect. There was one report out there that Dominic Williams had a great visit to Missouri. And, you know, somebody told me yesterday that the visit didn't register. So, you know, it's a little bit all over the place, but I do think the decision ultimately will come from Oklahoma, Texas, or LSU. And I think that's what this is coming down to. And I'm not going to discount anybody totally in the NIL day and age. But based on what I was told yesterday, I'd be surprised if it's Missouri. But, you know, hey, I've been wrong before. But I think Oklahoma, Texas, and LSU is where this battle is going to come down to right now. And we'll see which way that goes tomorrow. But I think, look, if in fact Texas does get the opportunity to meet with him today, I think that'd be a really good thing coming off the LSU visit, as well for Oklahoma if they meet with him today. So, Bobby, and then Simeon Barrow from Michigan State remains a possibility to visit this weekend. We'll see. He's at Miami right now. He's been to LSU. I think FSU is going to get a visit as well. The Portal Kings over there in Tallahassee. So we'll see if Texas brings Barrow in this weekend. Very good football player, by the way. And then, Bobby, I know you have some information on a corner coming in Thursday that C.J. Vogel, I think, broke that news for on Texas football yesterday.
Yeah, Javion Cole. By the way, Jerry, I'm intrigued by Fleetwood Mac. I mean, I gotta know your favorite song. Yeah. That's good stuff.
There's too many to name one.
What's that?
There's too many to name one.
There are a lot of good. I'm a Fleetwood Mac fan myself. I got to say, my wife is probably a bigger one than I am. Let's talk about Javion Cole, because that's who you're talking about, the corner out of San Jose State, All Mountain West performer according to Pro Football Focus. Now, the league coaches voted him an honorable mention, I think. But the league coaches in leagues like that typically don't go with guys that are just new to the league. Cole is actually a true junior, Jerry. He started his freshman year at Cal Poly. He was not offered by any major school. Cal Poly is not a D1 school. It's 1AA or D2, however they classify it now, FCS. The reality of it is that he is becoming a guy that, you know, a lot of people like. He's got 10.67, 100 meter speed. He allowed less than 50% of completion rate on his side of the field last year. But Jerry, the thing with you and me that we wanted to talk about a little bit, is you go back and watch two things. You go back and watch his huddle film, and it's not of a guy that should be going to Cal Poly. Then you find out that he's the Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year. So how did he end up at Cal Poly? Was it grades? Was it something else? I have no clue. But typically, the Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year doesn't end up at Cal Poly. I'll put it that way. He's from McClymonts High School, by the way, which people that don't have a sense of history, that's the same high school that produced, Bill Russell is one. Marcus Peters, defensive back that played for Washington and then first-round draft pick. Guys like that. McClymonts has had a long history of elite players. And so if you're the Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year as a senior and you don't end up D1, there's something there. And I don't know what it is. He could have been a late bloomer. We didn't follow him that closely out of high school. But He's put it on the field in both of his seasons, both as a freshman at Cal Poly and then as a sophomore at San Jose State, being all league by Pro Football Focus. So, look, Texas gets the first shot. I think Auburn and Michigan State are also going to be in there. I think it's more Auburn Texas has to worry about at this point. I also think that there could be more coming for him because he's a recent, relatively recent entrant, and he's a smaller school guy. I think there could be more coming. Texas gets first crack on Thursday.
And I think he's a very good prospect, by the way, guys. I think if you go back and watch his senior huddle, as Bobby did and I did this morning, he has really good ball skills and in that knack for getting his head turned, finding the football, even though his technique was that of a high school kid. I think he's got a lot of upside. I actually really like Javion Cole. By the way, we're going to have a special guest join us here in about 10, 12 minutes. And it's Coach Sands from O'Galley, high school head coach of Brandon Brown, the guy who dominates everybody on the Space Coast on Friday nights and probably all his teammates in spring practice. So Coach Sands from O'Galley will join us here in about 10, 12 minutes, the coach of Brandon Brown. Great time to have him on. First of all, he's a college offensive lineman, so he knows what a good defensive lineman looks like. And Kenny Baker was at the spring practice Monday, so it'll be a great time to talk to Coach Sands about one of the very best players in the country, Brandon Brown.
People are asking about another cornerback, Isaiah Hamilton, out of the University of Houston. There's also a couple at Western Kentucky.
Hamilton hit me up. He hadn't heard from Texas.
Yeah.
Hamiltons are going to respond to a Hamilton. That's an automatic.
Oh, man. All right. Before we talk about one of the outgoing players for Texas, guys, first I need to tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. And Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today at 512-280-0800. Or you can reach him online at loweylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. I want to thank him for sponsoring each and every Wednesday right here on Coffee and Football. And then, yes, their outgoing player for Texas announced yesterday. Bobby, I'm going to let you give the folks latest on that.
Yeah, Kendrick Blackshear, linebacker transferred in from Alabama, entered the portal yesterday afternoon. We kind of hinted at this as a possibility starting last week when we first heard about it. I actually heard about it before the spring game. Jerry and I were in the same place when we heard about it at the same time. The reality of it is I think that he had maybe a misplaced idea of where he was going to fit. I think he transferred in thinking that he was going to have a chance to start. And frankly, he couldn't beat out Anthony Hill or David Benda. And then Leonga Lafau, the sophomore from Hawaii, had a very strong year as well and a very strong spring. So Kendrick Blackshear is likely going to be the only transfer out at this point. I will say this. We've been doing some digging as of 5 o'clock yesterday, right at 5:30 when Jerry and I, we actually got a hold of some folks. There were no additional guys going in the portal from Texas. Now, could that have changed late last night and we don't know it at 7:45 in the morning? Yes. But as of last night, we know of no one for sure else going into the portal today. And the portal closed last night at 11:59 p.m.
All right, guys. It looks like our special guest is here. So while I bring him in, Jerry, I'm going to let you do the introduction.
Yeah, Coach Sands over at O'Galley. Hi, he might tell me I'm pronouncing it wrong. Head coach at O'Galley in Melbourne, Florida. Head coach of Brandon Brown, Texas, four-star commitment. I've been wanting to get Coach Sands on for a while. I had a great time when I was talking with him when I was through the school last year. But Coach Sands, thanks for joining us. I know it's extremely busy with all the college coaches coming through. So thank you for taking a few minutes for us this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You did pronounce it correctly, too. It's O'Galley. Everyone that comes through here says the same thing. And when I took this job, I asked the same question. So you got it right on the head, and I appreciate you guys having me for sure.
All right, Coach. So, you know, obviously Brandon Brown brought me through the school last year. You got a lot of talented players, though, to be clear, and the school has for many years. But Brandon Brown, kind of for the Texas fans out there that want a voice other than mine, tell everybody about Brandon Brown, what makes him, I think, the great prospect he is, and a little bit about him as a kid. I hear he has a pair of cowboy boots, by the way.
Yeah, the thing about Brandon, obviously he's a great player, and you see it on film and all that good stuff. He's a great human being as well. Comes from a great family, an athletic family. His brother was a college basketball player. His sister is one of the best basketball players in our area. She's a senior in high school right now, and she's probably the best athlete out of all of them. To be honest, she actually played football with him growing up until high school. Again, just a great family, great kid. You know, the thing about Brandon, no one really knows about is, he is extremely athletic for his size. He grew up playing running back. There's clips of him that I think he posted on Twitter last year of him playing running back in middle school. He's just a big body that moves extremely well. And from day one, you know, the University of Texas compared him to the first round pick of this year that they had. So again, I don't like even saying his name because I don't want to compare a high school kid to that. But at the end of the day, you know, you're getting a player that works really hard, that looks the part. And again, I know he's 6'6", but put on the kid's film and you're not going to see better film than Brandon Brown's film. So
it's very interesting.
Again, he loves to compete and just an all around great kid.
It's very interesting. You mentioned Brandon played running back. That's obviously a comparison. I'll say it for you, Coach. Byron Murphy played running back in high school, in middle school. Before transferring to the art, not transferring, moving over to the defensive line. The question I had for you is, you're a former offensive lineman yourself. What are some of the things that you look for that gave you problems that a Brandon Brown might give you problems, say, as an offensive lineman?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing, first of all, Brandon doesn't want the smoke with me. I still got it. So he knows for a fact that he can't come with me with it. The biggest thing is the way he uses his hands. He has really heavy hands. And again, with his athleticism, being able to use your hands at a young age is key. So again, just his overall just athletic ability and strength and the way he competes. Every time he goes out to practice, he's competing at a high level. I have to pull him out of practice a lot because, again, he's unblockable. So if we want to have a productive practice on offense, I got to kind of hold him back a little bit. But at the end of the day, again, he gives everyone fits because he, you know, obviously he's a little shorter being 6'2", 6'1.5", 6'2". But again, he just competes at everything he does, and it's at a high level at all times.
Hey, Coach, Kenny Baker was by, I think, watched y'all's practice Monday. I don't know if that was your first interaction with Kenny Baker, kind of. What were your thoughts on Coach Baker? And obviously Sarkisian came through the school on January with Jeff Banks and Tashar Choice. So you've had interactions with Coach Sark as well. What are kind of your thoughts on those guys after having some time with them?
Yeah, no, they're awesome. And obviously we have Brandon committed to them. We have a couple of really good prospects as well that they love. They love our safety, Xavier Lurice, the 26th safety, who, in my opinion, is one of the top 10 players in the country. And then we have a freshman quarterback that just came in, and he is about to blow up. Coach Baker saw him throw one ball and was on the phone with AJ because, again, he is as special as they come. So, again, at the end of the day, our relationship is great. Coach Baker, you know, we've kind of interacted before he came by, but he's awesome. He's, to be honest, he's a lot like Bo, in my opinion. And he has to develop that relationship with Brandon because Brandon had such a good relationship and still does have a great relationship with Coach Davis. But again, at the end of the day, they've done a great job recruiting him. You know, obviously Brandon's been on campus and loved everything about it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to come down to relationships. And I think Brandon's developed great relationships with the entire staff, not just with Coach Baker, but Coach Baker was awesome when he was here.
Hey, and Coach, for those that don't know, Brandon's a young kid for his grade, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't know when he turned 17 or if he just did, but kind of to let the Texas fans know about that, because I think a lot of times some kids are close to turning 18 right now, but he's the exact opposite.
Yeah, he's still 16, and I think he turned 17 in fall. Wow. So, yeah, he's still a pup. And if you see him off the hoof, he looks like a grown man. Like, he is – built up, not much fat on him at all. He, for some reason, he wears baggy clothes, but he almost has a six pack. Like, he is a good looking athlete. But again, at the end of the day, you know, he's going to start college the same year as everyone else. So being young, obviously, is a good thing, but his development is going to be huge. And the other thing people don't know, his brother is 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". So we think that height is going to come a little later because he has huge hands and big feet. So again, you know, his hips are high. We think he's going to be taller, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because he's so dominant and such a good athlete. So, you know, whether he's 6'3" or 6'4", whatever it is, it, you know, put the film on again and you see him just dominating the best football, in my opinion, in the country. No offense to you Texas guys, but we play in the, you know, the one of the hardest regions in the state of Florida. And again, Brandon's playing at a high level.
Hey, Coach, last thing, because I know you're busy, college coaches coming through all day. For the, any Texas fans living in the area, do y'all have spring game? Is it open to public? Kind of what's y'all's spring schedule in case anybody wants to stop by and watch you guys?
Yeah, so we don't have a spring game this year. A lot of people are going away from it. We wanted to play, but no one would play us, to be honest. I think Brandon Brown's a big factor in that because not many guys can block that kid. But again, we're open, so to speak. We'll practice until the 17th. You know, we're so more showcasing our guys. I got probably got 11 Division I guys on my in my program right now. So, you know, obviously we have about 10 coaches a day out at practice and watching us. And again, our kids are motivated because of that. You know, it's hard as a high school coach to motivate kids when there's no game at the end of it. But again, I think, you know, just having those guys around and having the, it's almost like a job interview every day for them. So, you know, our kids are competing at a high level, but yeah, we're open. We're right in the middle of Melbourne, Florida, about 40 minutes east of Orlando, right on the beach. So again, it's obviously good weather. It's about 85 degrees right now. And, you know, we're getting after it every day.
That is Coach
Florida, by the way. In Florida, by the way, they play spring jamborees where you play other teams, right? That's one of the things that people a lot of people
depends.
Don't realize.
It's like you can play a jamboree. So it's up to the coach's choice whether you play with multiple teams or one team. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything. But the problem with this in Florida, there's all the transfer stuff. So teams are against them going into the summer. So everyone's not trying to play, which is obviously for us, we want to compete in everything we do. You know, we're not worried about any of that type of stuff. But again, I get it. Like, I understand it. And obviously, we, you know, when you win over 10 games during the year, you're going to have that issue finding games in general. So again, we're just going to go out there every day and compete and practice at a high level and then, you know, hopefully stay healthy for summer.
All right, guys, that is Coach Sands from O'Galley. Coach, thank you very much for your time. And I'll see you next Tuesday. I'll be there Tuesday afternoon for practice.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having us, and y'all have a great morning.
All right. Good luck to your team, Coach. Very good. Hey, I tell you what, that if you don't – is there a better advocate you could have for Brandon Brown? Because I got the feeling that he really liked the kid, genuinely. Jerry, you that was a good guess because you get a sense for why you were so high on him when you first met him because, you know, Brandon Brown is not – the 6'5", 325-pound guy that, you know, maybe a DeAndre Robinson might be, to be honest, right, where he's already that big, but he plays the way he does, and then all the other intangibles and X factors, being a middle school running back, having a brother that's 6'6", being only 16 years old, and then you watch that tape and you go, God, what's he going to do when he's 17? So it's a combination of those factors. That's good stuff.
Look, rankings be damned. That guy's a near a five-star prospect for me. I mean, Bobby, we've been doing this a long time. If people don't – he's way underrated nationally. People actually need to go to the school and watch him. Go talk to Coach Sands and actually have the conversation we just had. You know, Coach Sands is a Division I offensive lineman. He knows him. He plays against really good talent in the state of Florida. And I think the kid's a tremendous prospect. I've compared him, and they're different, but athletically to Tommy Harris at a young age because I think he's got that quickness and that explosion. I'm just talking from that standpoint. He's got that quickness and that explosion. But what Coach said is so true about Brandon. When you see him in person, when he gives you the handshake, you're like, that, you know, like that guy's got, he's a heavy hand, strong hand guy. Right. And you see, he's just a big bone structure and he's not fat. I mean, you're talking about a guy at 6'1" and a half, 285, 283 in that range right now as a 16-year-old kid with good arm length. I don't know. And then you turn on the tape Friday on Friday nights. That guy's a stud. He's one of the very best prospects in the country. And I don't care where people have him ranked. They're wrong.
Okay, guys. Well, you're watching Coffee and Football presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. Please get your questions in. We're going to get to those here in just a little bit. We also got some high school recruiting to talk about. But before we get to that, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about the Carrot Concierge?
Yeah, absolutely. With Mother's Day coming up, we're doing you guys a favor. Believe me, you may be like me looking for the right gift for the woman in your life. Make sure you check out thecarrotconcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler. She is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations here. Use the QR code on the screen to see even more. Visit her on her website or Instagram, thecarrotconcierge.com. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan, and she and her family listen to On Texas Football. She prides herself in providing personal service, taking the extra steps necessary to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants. My wife, I got her a piece of jewelry from Jody, and I can't wait to get that going and give it to my wife for Mother's Day. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more, all beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. One of the great things, too, about a personal jeweler, 30%, as much as 30% less than what you'd pay at a normal jewelry store because they don't have the cost or the overhead of a storefront. Check out thecarrotconcierge.com. Visit her website or give her a call or text and take care of that special someone in your life. High quality stuff as well as lower prices from Jody Reynolds.
Okay. Well, as I said, y'all, high school recruiting also in full effect, obviously, as we just heard from Coach there. But Jerry, what's the latest there when it comes to Texas?
Yeah, we're going to stay on D-line. I mean, you know, Brandon Brown is an explosive three technique. He could play over the ball a little bit, right, just to be a disruptor. But the point is, Texas, Kenny Baker was out at Greene County High School in Greensboro, Georgia yesterday to see Kevin Wynn, 6'2", about 315, an over-the-ball player. There you see Kevin Wynn. And the interesting thing there was Kevin Wynn didn't make it in for the spring game because the weather. There were going to be flight delays, all sorts of stuff going on with the weather that weekend. But Kevin Wynn, after Kenny Baker's visit yesterday, scheduled June 14th through 16th official visit. So Texas gets another shot on goal here, and that's all you can ask for. You just want shots on goal with as many of these big-time D linemen as you can get. And this guy can really play over the football. He's a shot putter. He's a basketball player as well. But Texas is in the final four. It looks like Alabama's been bumped out, and it's Florida State, surging South Carolina, Georgia, and Texas. He has visits scheduled to all those. It's Georgia May 31st through June 2nd. It is South Carolina the 7th through 9th, Texas 14th through 16th, FSU the 21st through 23rd. FSU's been the leader the majority of the spring, but South Carolina's making a push there. We'll see what Georgia. You can't rule out Georgia. Home state, now they have some other D linemen. There's tons of D linemen in the state. They can't take them all. They're also recruiting nationally. But Kevin Wynn, Bobby, I think is a tremendous over-the-ball prospect. Light on his feet for 315. He is powerful. He's quick. Got really good hands. And I like that he's a three-sport guy that competes in everything.
Jerry, the issue here is real simple. You get him and Brandon Brown, and what else you need?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys can get after it. They're quick. They're fast. You have a guy like Alex January already on campus as well. This is what it's going to take, these kind of guys where you just, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm watching this film. I watched it yesterday because Jerry said, you got to watch this guy after we were talking about Brandon Brown. And he's just so quick.
Yeah.
Like, this is guys, not only that, he also has power, a power move where he just basically gets into the chest plate and dislodges the center and unanchors him. I mean, he's an impressive guy. Longhorns have some work ahead of them. But I definitely think with Kenny Baker and with the move to the SEC, Jerry, yes. What we're seeing is they're in on the right guys.
Yeah, they're in on the right guys.
They make a difference in the SEC right now.
Look, I mean, they beat Bama last year. That's a huge win. Then Texas goes on to the playoffs. Now they're officially moving to the SEC. And you see this. I mean, if you look at the official visits, and look, I'm not taking anything. Zion Williams, tremendous prospect at Lufkin High. Texas would take him, right? Then you look at the other prospects. I mean, Myron Charles from Port Charlotte's going to officially visit. Obviously, Brandon Brown's committed. Derry Norris from Spruce Creek's on the board. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't officially visit. And then you have Kevin Wynn officially visiting now from the state of Georgia. Texas is going to continue to battle a little bit on a couple other guys. Then you have Josiah Sharma out west. But those Florida, those Alabama, those Georgia kids, I think you're going to see more of those guys officially visit Texas in the coming years, and that's a great place to be. And the thing I would say for Texas fans is, you know, you need to recruit 10 of these guys to get two, because it is the most coveted and highly battled for position in recruiting in the Southeast region. There is no doubt about it. It's D-line is where the really knockdown dragouts come from in the SEC region. So you got to, I jokingly say, gird up your loins, but that's what you have to do. And you have to understand as fans that you got to recruit 10 to get two. I mean, and Auburn does too, and Alabama does too, and Georgia does too. They're all recruiting a lot of the same guys, and a lot of years they end up splitting those guys is what happens. So, you know, maybe Georgia gets 3 1 year, maybe Bama used to get 3 1 year, but there's some real battles in those states for these defensive linemen. But Texas is on the right guys. You got to get them to campus for officials and then knock out three or four in this class.
And then one other thing that we need to touch base on, guys, is basketball recruiting. Jerry, I know you got a couple of notes there. You posted over on ontexasfootball.com. What's happening there?
Yeah. So we're asked about, you know, who could be left on the interior for Texas. JT Toppin out of Dallas had a great freshman year at New Mexico, jumped in the portal yesterday, 6'9". He's a rebounder, score in the paint. He's a guy that Texas will try to get on campus, I believe. Now, we'll see so much in the NIL world. I mean, basketball stuff's crazy right now, guys. I don't even know what to tell you. It's wild stuff right now. So it just depends. It depends on, is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, I guess is one way to put it in basketball recruiting in NIL. Very good player. Then there's a kid who I have literally no chance to pronounce his name. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to call him Berkey B. He's a 6'9", 240-pound, very skilled left-handed forward from Turkey that was at UCLA last year, who had, you know, averaged 4.5 points and 2.5 rebounds a game. His first year in Power 4 basketball, but a very skilled guy offensively. I really like his upside. He's got to get more physical rebound than the basketball, but that's a lot of kids, European kids, coming over to the States for college basketball. Not the guys that are pros at that age, but the guys coming over for college basketball. So as he gets more physical, I think he's got a chance to be a good player. And obviously, Texas has Dozier Balbe on the staff now, who's from Turkey, played at Texas. So they get a lot of intel on those type of kids. So Texas will know everything they need to know about, we'll call him Berkey B. But he's a skilled guy, and he's a guy that Texas has taken a long look at. And see if anybody else jumps in the portal.
Wait a minute. Doge Balbe is now on the Texas staff. When did I miss that news?
He retired. He had actually a really good pro career in Turkey. And he retired from there last year. And so he's kind of a graduate assistant, so to speak, at Texas right now, as he works his way into the coaching ranks.
So he's back in Austin.
Yeah. I think he married a girl from Austin, or that went to UT.
Got it. Good stuff.
Okay, guys. Well,
Ryan Nelson asked the starting bid for basketball. I'll get this out of the way. There's some 7-figure guys out there in this class.
Wow.
And I'll leave it at that.
I wish I was a 7-figure guy. I wouldn't be sitting here hosting Coffee and Football. No offense.
I think we all agree with you, Blake. We all wish you were too, and ourselves as well.
We have a super chat here from Jack. Thank you, Jack, once again. So he says, sorry to seem preachy, but Bobby wrote an article for us OGs asking us to remember that we are graduates of a university of the first class. So save your four-letter words for your friends.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just want us to be able to enjoy each other's company. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of people try to take this stuff a little too far, I think. We definitely try to get into the weeds as far as the team and what's going on behind it. But, you know, personal infighting, calling each other names, that's not worth it to me. That's not why we come up here and enjoy what we do every day and enjoy hanging out with you guys. So I appreciate that, Jack, very much.
And we've had some questions about JV on Cole, Bobby. I know you want to revisit that. We've had a lot of people join since we first talked about that. So let's go back to that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. JV on Cole is a new name for people to know. He's a defensive back, cornerback out of San Jose State. CJ Vogel actually broke the news yesterday. All City in Oakland, Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year, okay, in the city of Oakland. As a high school senior. Okay, I want Blake to leave the film up here and y'all count the number of interceptions and punt returns he had for touchdowns as a high school senior. Okay? And let's just be clear. He also ran a 10.67 100-meter fully automatic time. Okay? I don't know how he ended up at Cal Poly as a true freshman. Jerry and I talked about this. The Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year does not end up at Cal Poly. They end up at Cal, Stanford, Washington, USC, Michigan, something like that. Okay. But he gets after it each and every. I mean, this film is really, really impressive high school film for a guy. And you watch it. Anyways, he's visiting Texas on Thursday of this week. CJ Vogel broke that news yesterday and did a good job of it. He was a first team Pro Football Focus All Mountain West selection. He lists it anywhere. I've seen this is going to be the crazy part, right? He lists anywhere from 5'10 to 6'1. So people are asking me how tall he is. I don't know. I mean, do I believe the San Jose official site or the Cal Poly official site or his high school recruiting profile? We just found out about JV and Cole. I didn't know he existed until yesterday, personally. And so I'm not sitting here saying that we know everything about this guy, but I'm trying to do research because clearly he's a guy that that Texas likes. Jerry, you've seen the film. What are your thoughts on Cole as a potential replacement for Terrence Brooks?
I think the guy's got great ball skills. I think there's certain guys that, you know, if this guy's a basketball background, it will not shock me. These guys have a way. There's certain guys that just get their head around and find the football, know how to play a ball, almost like they're playing a rebound off the rim. He's just one of those guys. He's got really good ball skills, very high-end ball skills. You see that, those guys that are also punt returners. He has got multiple quick moves in short space. I mean, he didn't even really play a technique here in high school at all. He was a little high. But he's just such a guy that plays the ball in the air and has a knack for getting his hands on the football. I think that's a real strength of this kid naturally. And you want as many of these guys as possible. What is his true height, weight? I think San Jose State would list a guy a little short if they don't want to lose him to the portal again. So I'm guessing he's 5'11" is my bet on that. I don't think he's 6'1". I'm guessing he's 5'11", legitimately without shoes on. Because if you get a kid from Cal Poly and you know he's too good to play for you, you're going to do whatever you can to keep him.
Look, I mean, what have we seen? Like 8 interceptions so far in this highlight video?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not normal. I'm just telling you, you're not the Oakland Athletic League Player of the Year and not. I mean, good luck, guys. I mean, he's a good player. Is he better than Terrence Brooks? I can't tell you that. You know, we have to wait and see and get him on campus and actually play. I do know that he's faster than Terrence Brooks.
It'll be a smooth transition. He wears 8.
Yeah,
it is. That jersey's numbers available, I hear.
It is that. All right, Blake, thanks for putting that up for us. And we wanted to go back over Javion Cole, a young man that's visiting Texas. Jerry, let's reset for people that are just joining. Talk a little bit about Dominic Williams and where things are at, the defensive tackle from TCU. Talk a little bit about Simeon Barrow, also who's over at Miami today for a visit.
Yeah, I think Dominic Williams is a lot of fun for it may not be fun for the fan bases, but waiting on the decision. It's fun. He's fun to cover. Look, I mean, it's a little bit all over the place. There were some reports that he had a great visit in Missouri. I was told by somebody that Missouri didn't really do it for him on the visit. So I think Texas, LSU, Oklahoma, I think that's where this thing's those are the three major players. I think NIL's good anywhere he goes. Can it be better at one place than the other? Sure it can. But I think, look, this kid's going to want to play on a big stage for what he believes, and I believe, will be his final year of college football. And that's going to be in the SEC, and that's going to be at one of the powers in the SEC. And, yeah, I would call Texas a power in the SEC. They made the playoffs last year if he goes to Texas. I would call LSU a power, of course. I mean, everybody that coaches there falls into a national championship. They have tons of talent, a lot of draft picks. So I think it'll be an interesting decision. He gets back from LSU. It should be mid-morning. I think Texas and Oklahoma are scheduled to visit with him today in DFW once he returns before a Thursday decision. Obviously, it's a huge recruitment for Texas, huge recruitment for LSU and Oklahoma as well. There's a possibility Oklahoma starts two freshmen on the D-line at some point. That's not really what you want in the SEC. So it's a big recruitment for those guys. It's big for Texas because, Texas has added two quality players out of the portal, that position. But I wouldn't say they've added a guy like this who could be a, second, third round type NFL draft pick. So he's a difference maker. I think this guy's a stud player. He was one of those guys. The other thing I really like about Dominic Williams, guys, is he has that correct chip on his shoulder. That chip on the shoulder that Byron Murphy had. That chip on the shoulder I think you're going to see a Brandon Brown have. In that, Brandon Brown a little different, to be fair. But in that, I'm the undersized guy. People always said I was undersized. And in the case of Dominic Williams, he camped at Texas. He camped at OU. He camped at all these places. Nobody offered him out of high school. None of those schools offered him. So he has that chip on his shoulder, that prove it I was right chip on his shoulder. And I love that with the defensive lineman, especially. So he's got everything you want of a kid that you're going to get out of the portal. So it'll be fun. It's been fun to cover. I'm interested to see which way it goes Thursday, but we'll continue to have updates on OnTexasFootball.com and here on the YouTube channel. But it's a big decision coming up for Texas, LSU, and Oklahoma. Let's just say if he ended up at Texas, Bobby, that puts Texas in a tremendous position heading into next year. I mean, I think next year the D-line as a whole, if you get a Dominic Williams, will be better than last year. I just think they're going to be so much older and better at edge. I think that the depth at defensive line suddenly looks, pretty good. And then you have a front line, high draft pick type of player to go with it. So it's a big decision for Texas coming up.
It's one that could portend what Texas is going to look like a little bit up the middle this year because he is an immediate starter. And that's the one thing you want to do. You don't want to just supplement your team with depth. You want immediate starters from the portal, right? Now, Texas is in a compromised situation at defensive tackle this offseason. I think that's clear based on the coaches and what they've done at this point, right? I feel like Texas feels like they have to get defensive tackle help based on what they know and what they've seen at this level. People are saying, well, Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins and, Aaron Bryant and Jerry Bledsoe, they're better than what you're thinking. Well, maybe so, but the coach's actions actually say something totally different from Texas. So they're not going to chance it, right? And so I think that the fans, us, need to see and recognize it's good to be hopeful for your existing players, but, proof is in the pudding and in the actions of what somebody does. Texas is clearly going out there right now and looking for defensive tackles that can contribute. Hey, Jerry, I want to, and Blake, I want to bring something else up. NCAA and folks met yesterday. several different reporters saying that profit sharing is now legitimately on the table with players. But how are they going to do it? The devil will be in the details. But profit sharing may very well be coming to college sports. Imagine, you know, this clearly will be a change in the idea of an amateur status. I mean, that, let's just take that facade away. But it's not just the football team that will be a part of that. Imagine women's basketball right now coming off of those ratings. They're going to make some money. The women's basketball players, just the rank and file, are going to make some money. Men's college basketball, they're going to make some money, even the rank and file. And so I think it's interesting where this is all going. We don't have a clear picture other than everybody is saying, let's get this done. The path to getting it done now appears to be the problem. And it's not the NCAA that's standing in the way of it. They want to do it too. Let's see how it goes. I personally think that too many teams, what's going to end up happening is too many teams are going to say, well, we want to be in that elite level and share also. And we want to still play for national championships, et cetera. And my only concern is that instead of weaning it down, college football down to 50 or 60 teams that are playing D1, they're going to try to keep it at 120 and make everybody equal. There's a reason the NFL NFL works. And it's not because there's 60 NFL teams or 80. There's 30, 32, whatever. My point being, you don't need 120 or 130 going at it. Old Dominion, you know, for lack of a better term, doesn't need to be on the same playing field as Texas when it comes to that sort of thing. So that's where I'm at. The devil will always be in the details, but at least some of the facade is being melted away. Some of that BS that people have used as excuses forever is being melted away.
Guys, I want to answer this question real quick from Mike D. He's asking about some high school stuff here. And Comanche baseball actually plays tomorrow in Graham for playoffs. Softball got knocked out of the playoffs. Yes, we got a very good girls basketball player transfer. Our girls team should be top in the state the next 2 years. I'll just say that. And then the good player that transferred to Stephenville, is he a running back? Yes, and he was actually one of the leading rushers in Class 3A before his injury. Just got his first D1 offer, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, but he did transfer to Stephenville. So there you go. All right. Now, with that said, we need to tell folks out there about South Point Dodge. And Jerry, I'm going to let you tell them.
Yeah, look, guys, I mean, I'm hitting the road next week, going to be in Florida all week. And I'm not going to be driving a South Point Dodge, but I wish I was. Hey, Texas football fans, score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff doesn't do games or gimmicks. They just get straight to the point by getting you the best deal. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see us off I-45 in South Austin or at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. Hey, guys, hey, you never know. Maybe one day I'll be driving a South Point Dodge around the state of Texas. We'll see.
I'll get you a real deal from the folks there. Okay, well, we got plenty of questions, so let's just jump right into it here. Joel McWaters preaches sometimes. I saw him ask this the past couple of days. We just haven't been able to get to it. Well, with Sanders falling to the fourth round, do you think that will cause more guys to stay in college?
I say no. I'm going the opposite way. Here's my thought on this. JT Sanders, tremendous football player. But I actually think Tory Becton will say, this is guys why you take weight room serious. Because that cost him money.
Yeah.
The workout at Pro Day cost him money.
It did.
I think if you're Tory Becton, you use that to your benefit with the younger kids in the program coming up, Bobby.
You know, JT Sanders, he may enter the NFL as the weakest tight end in the league.
Yeah.
That's to your point. That is where you are concerned about his actual physical stuff. He transferred out and really relied so much on his athleticism in high school, Jerry. Never got started and took the weight room seriously. Then he did over his freshman campaign, if you remember that, got in tremendous shape and then just never continued going on as it relates to that. I do think that it will cause some people. I don't know that. Let me give you this for an example, though, Jerry. Is it JT Sanders that might cause people to wait, or might it be Jordan Whittington, who came back and had an extra year? I know he had some success with NIL. Wouldn't that be a better, instead of scaring people to stay, reinforcing them to stay is a better tactic, in my opinion. So think of it that way. I think it's more of a who do we need to be a part of and want to be like, as opposed to scaring people away from it. That's just my take.
And then our next question, guys, is going to come from King Me. We'll talk about recruiting here for a second. Are there any offensive players that Sark is pushing to flip, like Dallas Wilson, who you touched on quite a bit yesterday?
Y'all, that's the one right now, guys. I mean, Dallas Wilson, Jeff Banks was at Tampa Tech for 3 hours on Monday. And I have a little update there. Dallas Wilson says he's going to officially visit Texas. We'll see if that happens. So to me, you got to set a date. Things need to be firmed up, locked in, whatever term you want to use. But because he's got three June visits right now, Miami, Florida, and Oregon, where he remains committed. So will Texas bring him in June? Will they kind of wait until the fall maybe, see what happens with some of these other wide receiver targets? But Texas really, this is not just a stop at a school for Jeff Banks. He's way too busy to do that now. Dallas Wilson's one of the top receivers in the country, and Texas thinks of him that way, and they're working to get him on campus. But he's the one right now that I would say if you're looking for somebody committed to another place.
And then we have a question for you, Jerry, from Champ Bailey 3. He says, do you have a quick Michael Fasusi update?
Yeah, nothing big new on my end. I think it's just going to go through the June official visit process. I think he's going to visit A&M. I think he's going to visit Oklahoma. And I think Texas gets the last shot June 21st through 23rd. And it'll play out a little bit more in June. Obviously, A&M's trying to make a big push, as they should, on offensive line in this class. I mean, they're up against it. But I think Texas gets the last visit there, and I think Texas feels pretty good about it, but you just got to let it play out through June. So nothing new on my end other than I think Texas feels pretty good about it. I think Texas has more confidence in Oklahoma. A&M's trying to make that push against Texas. We'll see where it ends up, after these June visits.
All right, guys. And then, Tris Vlogs says, can you break down how many spots we have left on the roster?
Yeah, Texas, with the loss of Kendrick Blackshear yesterday, went down. They had 89 scholarships. That's nine guys that have entered the portal now. Added Bill Norton this offseason thus far. That brings them back up, I believe, to 81. It's either 80 or 81. C.J. Vogel wrote an article about this yesterday on ontexasfootball.com. So that's there for you guys that want to check it out. Texas has room for three or four more here, in my opinion. I think one might be a punter that we're unaware of who that even is. They may be saving that for June or July to wait to get Michael Kern on campus even, Jerry, and see what they think they really got in him. Then you also have one or two defensive linemen and one or two cornerbacks. So it could be three to four more guys that we see. Right now, people are saying, well, how is Texas even going to get to three more? They're waiting for one. But all of a sudden, if you get Dominic Williams, that's one. You get Javion Cole, that's two. Then all of a sudden you're cherry picking or hunting for just one or two more guys. So that's a reality.
And then you mentioned Dominic Williams. Bobby Jack has another super chat. Thank you once again, Jack. He says, I see our advantage there being that if he has one more year, you have to choose Texas. We are the guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that Texas, you know, has done a good job of putting guys into the NFL. We just saw that happen. They're going to continue to do that. It's a good situation from a winning win-loss perspective. Longhorns went 12-2 a year ago. There's a lot of things, but I would caution anybody saying they're the only guarantee because money is at play here at some level. Don't kid yourself. Texas, however, I don't think is going to the gunfight with a knife here. So I think that's going to be the issue. And Texas has proven that they make good on their promises from an NIL perspective, in my opinion. You can ask anybody and everybody. That's a big deal because there are some people that will go elsewhere and say, that didn't really turn out the way that it was expected. USC was one of them last year. That's why Bear Alexander kind of forced their hand a little bit. So that's what's happening right now. And I do believe that Texas is not playing in that regard.
I know this isn't going to be popular opinion on a kid like Dominic Williams, but look, I've shared this opinion on multiple kids. If you're down to Texas, LSU, and Oklahoma, you're really not going to make a bad decision. That you're playing in the SEC at one of the better programs in the country, right? I mean, you're not going to make a bad decision in any of those, right? If you go to LSU, you have a great coach, right? If you go to Texas, I think Kenny Baker's a tremendous pass rush coach and a great young coach. You go to Oklahoma, I mean, look, they've had a great history in their program. Guys get drafted out of there. I don't think the kid can make a bad decision. I think it comes down to where do you want to be. I mean, we've talked about this with DeCorian Moore. I mean, to me, with DeCorian Moore, ultimately it's going to come down to where you want to be. Is it LSU or is it Texas? I know Ohio State and Oregon will get visits, but where do you want to be? I mean, where do you think you're going to go and help maximize your talent however long you're there? I know that's a little different opinion. I don't think the kid probably can go wrong with any of those decisions, any of those three schools at this point. Do I think Texas is set up to have the best season on the field next year? Oh, absolutely, of the three. Do I think going to LSU or Oklahoma, if you're Dom Williams, keeps you from getting drafted as high if you go to Texas? No, I don't think that at all. I don't think the kid can make a bad football decision, but where are you most comfortable? Where do you want to be? Because that motivation and that comfort is really big if you're going to be somewhere a short amount of time.
Jerry, we got a lot of people want to know if you can call your shot on Dominic Williams. Sorry to put you on the spot here, but a lot of questions regarding it.
Yeah, I mean, look, ask me again this evening. I'll be on the live stream this evening on that. Let's see if these visits happen this afternoon. Let's see if Texas goes in with Dominic Williams this afternoon. I think that might be telling.
There's still some recruiting to do.
Yeah.
People want answers right now. He's not even off of LSU campus.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't flown out yet, and there's a reason people want to go in and talk to him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Right. Tedapare 1 says, does Texas have any interest in BYU's 6'3", 360-pound defensive lineman Danny Saley? I don't know how you say that last name.
Not a name we've heard. We've heard Dom Williams and we've heard Simeon Barrow, who's visiting Miami right now, is a possibility to visit. I think he's a very good player. Derek Harmon was mentioned a little bit. I hadn't heard much of that lately. There's a kid at Grand Valley State, but I haven't heard anything strongly mentioned there. Haven't heard anything on the kid from BYU at this point. If Texas wins out for Dominic Williams, they have the decision to make if they have enough or not.
All right, guys. Well, we've talked about the defensive line quite a bit today, but we got quite a few questions about linebacker as well. So let's start there. We're going to take this first one here from Ski Brett. He says, how does our linebacker room look right now? Will we take one if a good one hits the portal?
Man, I thought going into the spring they might take a look there. But when Steve Sarkisian decided to put David Benda in front of everybody at a media availability, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This guy is going to be a starter for Texas next year. And he did that this spring. And so I don't think they're looking as hard in the portal for a linebacker as I thought maybe they might. And now, granted, if they think there's a guy out there that's got 100 tackles in him in a season and can help lead the defense – and put Anthony Hill maybe back outside, That's a different story. But I haven't seen that as a priority right now. I mean, I think Johnny Nansen, linebackers coach, has been focused on high school recruiting and maybe strengthening some ties he had previously in California with some players. So that might transfer, et cetera, like Bill Norton. So right now, I don't see linebacker a priority.
By the way, we have more Dominic Williams stuff. He's going to be the topic. Somebody's jokingly said I'm Adam. No, I'm not Adam. I think it's a huge recruitment. Look, and how good do I think the guy is? I think the guy could transfer to North Carolina A&T and be drafted next year. I think he's very, very good. That's what I say. It doesn't matter where he goes. It's not going to affect his football. That guy's going to be a pro either way. Somebody asked, did LSU have any DL drafted this year, two or three? I'm pretty sure it was three. Mason Smith, second round, who had the ACL against FSU first game in 22. He came back, wasn't quite 100% at that size. They had a kid go late. It was a really good player. I think they had three D tackles drafted this year at LSU, which is about the average every other year for LSU the last decade.
And they did not have a good defense last year at all. They were bad. They changed their entire defensive staff because of it.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Phil says, Heal, LaFau, Benda, who else is a rotating starter as of right now?
Safeties for sure. I don't know that LaFau is a rotating starter, by the way. I think Hill, Benda, and Blackwell are the top three linebackers right now. Safety for sure with Makuba, Williams, Taft. I don't know if McDonald is in that category quite yet. Clearly, cornerback is a question mark with Terrence Brooks's departure. I don't know where Kyle Flood came out with the offensive line in the spring. You know, is Nato, is Cole Hudson, you know, what's the situation there? I think if they learned anything this spring on the offensive line, by the way, I still say it's that Hayden Connor may not be the second best center prospect on the team. Like, I don't know if Jake Majors gets hurt, I don't think you move. I don't think Hayden Connor's the guy at center. Other rotating starters, Blue and Baxter, definitely, right? Potentially one of the receivers. There will be more rotating starters this year than there were last year. I think that's a fair assessment, actually. I hadn't really thought about it that way.
And then our next question, guys, comes from Colton. And he says, does Kobe Black eventually move to safety? Seems to be in the Ryan Watts mold, lacking the speed to play corner at college and in the NFL.
It's a great question. I think the next year development is going to be really big to answer that question. I think with Kobe Black, I think of all the kids that came in as a freshman, he has maybe the most body change in front of him, which is saying something, but I really think so. A small school kid, played multiple sports. His body's really going to change in the next year. I think it's going to depend on, look, at Texas develops players. I think guys get faster in the program. How much does his speed improve in the next year, Bobby? I think it's going to be telling for Kobe Black at the corner position at Texas. I don't think it's 100% lock he stays at corner. I think it's to be determined. And I'm not saying he can't play corner. I just think there's some physical development, obviously technique, player development, speed development there that I think are going to tell that story.
And then let's see here. We'll take this question from John Haney. He says, is there a special athlete in the portal that maybe isn't necessarily a need that could be brought in to help win a championship? Do you guys think that Texas would do that if they saw just an elite playmaker at a certain position?
Yes. Yeah, that's Steve Sarkisian's game. I mean, I think that he knows that players win championships. He can call up all the plays he wants. But I don't – my take on it is that, you know, I don't know that that player is out there right now for Texas. And if it were, I think Steve Sarkisian would be all over it. Texas would be all over it. Right now, the one guy that I think they feel that way about for sure is Dominic Williams. You know, say what you want, but that's the guy that they're after the hardest right now out of everybody.
Brendan Bauer Sox, does Alex January get rotation reps this year? I think he does. I think he had a strong spring game, shed 15 pounds. Now Torrey Becton will build up that body even more so. here in June, July, headed into August. Yeah, I do think he'll get some reps this year. I think he's going to be a really, really good player.
Okay, and then this next question here from Dave, one of your favorite questions, Sherry. Any punters in the portal that are on the radar?
I have not heard a name, but I've heard it's definitely under consideration.
And while we're on the subject of the portal, Ocean Road wants to know, should we have slow played Bill Norton's commitment if Dominic Williams is concerned about sharing snaps? Y'all's thoughts?
No.
No.
You know, you can't. Ultimately, you have to overcome that objection by the customer. That's you can't put yourself – a team can't put itself at risk of not having players they want and not taking other players they want, because football is not a, it's not a five person game like basketball where, you know, you can't take two small forwards, you know, that are both expecting the ball. Two spots play. Norton also played a lot at the three technique last year. He didn't just play over the ball. I think that that's a little overblown. I do think that it may go into this, the decision for Dominic Williams. At the same time, I think you have to go at it.
Okay, guys, before we move on and take a few more questions here, I'm going to tell folks out there about our sponsor, Adam Lowy. And Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients. Whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious catastrophic injury, Adam is who you want to call. Be sure to call him today at 512-280-0800. Or you can reach him online at loweylawfirm.com, and he'll give you a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. And we want to thank him for sponsoring each and every Wednesday right here on Coffee and Football. And somebody else that we need to thank is Just the Dude for his super chat. And he says, when do you think we'll see this defense slash PK start to peak? Or did they already? Given the pieces that are there, I feel like there's more. And also, do you have any take on Shedeur Sanders' comments on his teammates? I wouldn't want him as my quarterback.
Bobby, but I think the peak is going to be when Texas gets legitimate edge pass rush. Then you're going to have the answer to your question, because that is the difference maker. That if the one area, and I think Baron Sorrell and Ethan Berger are really good players, it's just depth. And look, Trey Moore's twitchier. Colin Simmons is more of a natural, twitchier pass rusher. I think that's when you're going to see the peak in what the defense can become under PK.
I agree. I would also add, though, that when are you going to have two defensive tackles like you had this year?
Yeah.
I mean, this past year. So I don't know if it's peaked, would be my piece on that. We'll see, though. I do think they'll be better at edge, to Jerry's point. As far as Shedeur Sanders, I mean, what are you supposed to say?
I haven't seen all his comments. I can't keep up.
He's like, he's calling guys that left the program mid and former teammates and stuff like that. You don't do that, man.
Yeah, saying he didn't know who they are.
I mean, like, are you trying to help your NFL draft stock or hurt it?
He's just being a 18, 20-year-old kid that doesn't care what he says, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of this, I gotta bring this one up. from Bobby Petronic, as someone that lived in and around Pasadena, Texas, for quite a while, Baton Rouge is just a place with a university. All the charm of Pasadena, Texas, with all the amenities of Monroe, Louisiana. I'll have you know.
Hold on, Bobby. I'm gonna take you to task on this in a second.
That's not right. I'm a PISD. Born and raised, I went to Dobie High School. Don't be talking bad about Pasadena.
I was going to take Bobby.
I know that the roads down there, 225, I think, is the highway that it can get a little stinky, but you know,
yeah,
all of those.
He lived in the non-stinky side of Pasadena. You know, like backed up to Clearbrook High School over there west on the Beltway. He wasn't over off 225. I got to take Bobby to task on that one a little bit.
Oh, man. All right. Corey J wants to know, who is y'all's candidate for a breakout year this upcoming season?
Ooh. That's a great question. I'm going to say this. I think Jontae Cook's a very good player. I actually think DeAndre Moore a little bit. I liked what I saw DeAndre Moore, what I heard about him in the spring. I go back to this one thing. Bobby, we talked about it last year. Who's the first guy on the practice field the days we were there this spring? DeAndre Moore. Last year when we were there in August, the first guys out to the practice field were Worthy, Whittington, and Mitchell. They came as a group. DeAndre Moore showing up early, man, had a really good spring game. I think he's a very reliable route runner, if not the best route runner on the team. And look, we had Silas Bolden on. We did a special with Silas Bolden yesterday. I think he's going to be tremendous too. But I think, as Rob Baber said, Sark's circle of trust is going to expand. I think DeAndre Moore is going to have a really good year and surprise some people.
You know, the one that I just – Gunnar Helm for me. And I know that sounds – Texas, he's going to – and it could be Amari Nyblak. But I just think that the tight end, whoever the tight end is at Texas, is going to have a little bit of a breakout year. And look, I like Helm because he gives you both. He gives you inline blocking, and he gives you a pass-catching threat. Now, he's not going to say he's Jatavion Sanders, but Gunnar Helm's not a statue at receiver either. He's a little bit better than what I think people give him credit for. So I will go – a lot of people would say Jaden Blue, but I don't know that he's really breaking out. He kind of broke out at the end of the last year. So I would go with Gunnar Helm.
Somebody's mentioning Vosick is an answer. I just want to see him stay healthier for longer.
It's possible, though.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. Guy's got the motor and the physicality.
All right, so hey, Jerry, this is a good one for you. Has Texas recruitment of Keelan Russell, the Duncanville quarterback, slowed down? Are we sticking to a one QB class? I think that you don't know about necessarily part one, but part two, you've got a definitive answer there.
We'll see on Keelan Russell. Alabama offered him and set him up last week that was, and he's set up to visit there May 31st, June 2nd. So his recruitment as a whole is definitely a trajectory up and ascending, as it should be. With Texas, we'll see. When I spoke with Keelan Russell, Texas told him it's going to be a one quarterback class. So this Texas pivot off that, we'll see. But right now, the plan is what they're telling kids is a one quarterback class.
Guys, we'll do two more questions here. This first one from Skeet Breck. Bobby, I'll let you answer this one. He says, portal closed last night, right? So our only surprise was Blackshire. We might still hear another name too tonight, right? Or would that info have been released by now?
Okay, this is great. This is actually one of the pieces that I wrote on Texas Football Today. So the portal did close last night. As of 5 o'clock yesterday, around 5-ish, there were no new people in the portal for the University of Texas or on their way to the portal. Now, that doesn't mean something couldn't have happened between then and 7:45 this morning when we started this live stream. We know there are no more we know Blackshire went in and we had heard about it. There were a couple other guys that had either filled out paperwork or that were thinking about filling out paperwork. The teams themselves, the schools, have 48 hours from when they receive the paperwork to actually placing a player into the portal. Now, we may know more than that in the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, et cetera. But as of right now, I know of no other player that is definitely going into the portal from the University of Texas. And I will add this, Jerry. I think Texas actually escaped this portal window very well. They lost one starter in Terrence Brooks, but that was a mutual decision, right? They lost two young players, I think, that they would have liked to have kept. Billy Walton, one of those young men out of South Oak Cliff, and Austin Jordan. Okay, those two guys were depth pieces for Texas. The rest, I don't know that Texas really lost much from that perspective, from a playing perspective. So I think that Texas actually did okay. They culled the roster a little bit, lost a little bit, but not maybe too much at this point. By the way, I want to, Blake, you brought up that OTF OG. I want to say thanks to everybody that's become a member. Guys, thank you all so much for joining on TexasFootball.com. Jerry and I, myself, Blake, CJ Vogel, each and every day, we have articles up on TexasFootball.com. You can go there and become a member for just $39.95 annually. It's normally going to be $59.95, but when you use the coupon code OTFOG. You get it for $39.95 annually or $5.95 a month. Give us a chance to earn your subscription. We appreciate y'all very much. Again, OTFOG on OnTexasFootball.com. Thank y'all and appreciate y'all being part of the On Texas Football community, both on here as well as online on the website.
All right, guys, this will be the last question for today, and it comes from Twitter from Gabriel. Thank you, Gabriel, for the Twitter question. He says, how confident are you all with our secondary?
Rod Babers is not right now. He's worried a little bit. I think that it's fair. I mean, I think that they have the pieces. I want to see what they do with Barron. How much more time do they give Makuba, who I think is a solidifying force back there? They may be trying to rotate too much at times, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the safeties are going to be much improved. Obviously, Barron didn't play in the spring game. I think Texas will get somebody really good out of the portal. And I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be all right at the end of the day. And by the way, I agree with David Rawls. Pass rush will help the secondary. 100%. 100%. Because I can guarantee you this. If you ask I don't care who you have in the secondary. If you ask those guys to cover for 5 seconds in the SEC, good luck. Too many good athletes.
All right, guys, so that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We want to thank them along with Carrot Concierge and South Point Dodge for being sponsors of today's show. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. We would appreciate that. And then, of course, ring the bell so you don't miss any videos posted to the OTF YouTube channel. And then, as Bobby said, head on over to OnTexasFootball.com. Become an OTFOG with that promo code OTFOG if you haven't already. That way, you don't miss a beat when it comes to Longhorn News. And for Jerry Hamilton and Bobby Burton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Good luck on Dominic Williams, guys.